Our unity with the Lord and with each other has a purpose. Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. From the very beginning, Genesis 1, or even before the beginning, God has had a plan for us. Free and open fellowship between Him and us is one part of that design. Our dominion over creation is another, and so is our common brotherhood. But only through the ministry of Christ could that plan come together. Jim's sermon, How to Live Effectively, Part 2, has all been leading up to this. Let's listen.
I remember an experience talking with a nursing mother, and she told me how if she ate garlic, it would affect her baby who was nursing. That somehow that garlic would go into her system and through her system and out through her system, become part of her, and then through the nursing process, the child would actually ingest that garlic. Well, the Holy Spirit comes inside us. God the Son comes inside of us to affect the milk of our lives. That's the point. And what Paul wants us to see is that since we are in Jesus Christ, everything that pertains to Him, we share. I cannot experience anything with my head that it doesn't affect the rest of my body. Well, it excites me. Now, notice how Paul prays. Here's his prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, to know more about God the Father. Why? Well, we'll see. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, so that we may know what is the hope of His calling, the calling that God accomplished in Jesus Christ. His calling. Well, since I am in Christ and Christ is in me, the benefits of that calling now flow to me, see. I'm caught up in all the blessings that Jesus Christ accomplished by fulfilling the calling of God upon Him. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? His inheritance, not my inheritance, His inheritance. Since I'm connected to Him, since I'm part of the bride and He's the bridegroom, I participate in His inheritance so that everything that God the Son inherits, I inherit in Him. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us for who believe? His power, not my power, His power. And yet His power becomes available to me because I'm connected in Him. I'm united in Him. And Paul says he prays that the believers will see that. And then he goes on to show how this vital connection in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ in me, how this plays out. Look at it in chapter 2 and verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we're dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He has enlivened us with Christ, hath raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When? Now. Now. Right now. You are connected. You are in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, far above all principalities and powers, every name that can be named now and in any future age. He is there now, and you are there now. You are in Him. You're as good as home tonight. Can you see that? And when we come over then to chapter 4, when Paul begins here in chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What he's saying is, I want you to take that truth and let it be the basis of your life right now. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, what is the unity of the Spirit? It's the unity that the Spirit of God produces in the lives of believers who are co-connected to Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say that there is one body, there is one Spirit, you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all. Every believer possesses these singular, unique qualities. One hope, all of us have the same hope. One body, we're all part of the same body. One Spirit, we're all indwelt by one Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one, but we are one with each other in our sharing in the one Lord Jesus Christ. That's not something that's future, that's now. That's right now. That's a oneness or a unity that exists right now. And it therefore ought to undergird and affect how we behave and how we treat each other, how we see each other. So later when Paul picks up these tough words like submission and love and honor, he has laid a foundation for it by showing us that our relationship with each other is no longer merely human. It's no longer just my wife and myself. That in loving her as Christ loved the church, I am fulfilling for her my equal in the faith. I am fulfilling her something that is worthy of her position. Why? Because she belongs to God. She's part of the body of Jesus Christ. She's sacred. She's special to God. And therefore, I ought to love her. It's my privilege to love her. And when Paul begins that whole passage by saying, begin by submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. See, all human relationships that begin then in the body of Christ, recognizing that we have this mystic union, this one union, this one relationship, this true relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I should never do anything to you, my brother, that I wouldn't do to Jesus Christ. Never. Why? Because he is in Christ and Christ is in him. Does that not elevate for you and for me the whole matter of being believers? Doesn't that put it in a different plane? Look at chapter 1 again. One last point tonight. In Ephesians chapter 1, notice verse 11. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also, that's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. When he obtained his inheritance, he secured the inheritance, and we participate that inheritance. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Watch. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after you believed, you were sealed. You were sealed. The Holy Spirit marked you as belonging to God. Now, all of this is to work out, according to verse 9, it's to work out God's good pleasure, the pleasure which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that means out there in the future, when everything that God has planned, everything that God is doing, everything that's on God's agenda comes to its final stage. That's the dispensation of the fullness of times. God might gather together in one all things in Christ, but which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, so forth. That God might gather together in one all things in Christ. Way back in Genesis 1, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. There's a tremendous amount of discussion about what that image means. This verse tells us that when God has finished what he began, what he launched in that saved, redeemed humans, you and I, will share with him in a relationship, in a sharing with him that will position us over everything. We will have dominion over everything that he has made, and we will fellowship with him, and his will be my will. His desire will be my desire. His pleasure will be my pleasure. There will be one mind, there will be one goodness, there will be one heartbeat throughout the whole universe. And God made us in His image so that ultimately He could share with us the most intimate of relationships, the most intimate, and also that He could bring us up to Himself over all the rest of His creative order, and we could enjoy Him, and He would enjoy us without distance, without communication problems. That's going to be a glorious day. And all of that is fulfilled. The reason, to summarize that, the reason God made man in His own image is so that ultimately redeemed man could be the face that God would wear in relationship to all of His created order. It's incredible. And we would be so related to Him and would be so united and so intimately infused by Him that we would will His will and do His pleasure and seek His joy instinctively and find fulfillment and delight in all that He created us to do. In the future, whatever other orders of creation there may be, when they look to know God, they will see the fullest manifestation of His grace, mercy, love, joy, peace, all those things, as they see us, as they see God's perfected and finished work in us. It's incredible. And there will be nothing that will ever separate or divide us from God again. Some weeks ago, I received an email from a dear brother, and a brother in the ministry, and his comment, his little editorial was that we're always trusting God plus. And he was not talking about salvation, he was talking about satisfaction. And the little editorial went on to ask, would you be content if all you had was God? If you got to heaven and there were no golden streets, there were no angelic choirs, there were no mansions, there was only God, would you be disappointed? That was the editorial. That was the question. Now turn that one more time. Why would God be enough? What else is there worth having in the universe besides God? Think about it. I mean, I feel like I put you in a position. A little 5-year-old boy, a Sunday school teacher said, you know, what has a long tail, it's furry, lives in a tree and eats nuts? And nobody would answer. Nobody would answer. So finally he said, Charlie, you know the answer to that. What has fur and 4 legs, a long tail, lives in a tree and eats nuts? But he said, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me. Well, that's where you are, you know. I know I'm supposed to be satisfied with God. Yeah, if I get there and there's only God, obviously I'll be satisfied. Well, why would I be satisfied with that? What else is there? What else is there that can give satisfaction? See, nothing else can do that because you're made in God's image. You're made after His likeness. And your heart and your soul is made and designed to thirst and to hunger after God. And the point Jesus is making in the upper room is that salvation addresses that need. God gives Himself to you fully. There's nothing God has in reserve that He doesn't give to His children. Nothing. He gives you Himself. And salvation is when I invite this God to infuse Himself into my soul and spirit and heart and to unite me inseparably with Him. And then all my future from that moment on is based upon participating in His life, His power, His joy, His peace, His promises. And as I learn the deep satisfaction that gives, everything else loses its significance. Everything else is so urbane, so flat, yeah. Here and there in life, God often will give you a taste of that. He will take a passage, He'll take you through an experience, He'll meet you in an encounter that just transcends you. You just feel His presence. You just enjoy His presence. You sense the deep peace of absolute comfort and assurance. The joy of knowing God and experiencing Him. I mean, you have that moment, that moment of ecstasy. Friend, that's heaven. That's what heaven's going to be like. Only there to be uninterrupted. Heaven is not the mansions. It's not the gold streets. It's not the choirs, and it's not the throne. Heaven is God. And in His boundless mercy and grace, God has caught us up in that experience we call salvation and made us one with Himself, not making us God. But just as God is in the Son, God the Father is in the Son, God the Son is in the Father. So Jesus is in us and we are in Him. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. We dwell by the Spirit in Him. God the Father comes and makes His home within us so that we are inseparably connected to God. We are infused with God. And having Him, knowing Him, experiencing Him then is the very essence of eternal life. And that's why Jesus said there in John chapter 17, Father, I've given to them eternal life. Eternal life is what? It's knowing You. Eternal life is experiencing You, God. And You were given that capacity for that kind of experience when You were designed in His image after His likeness. Incredible. Our Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for moving John to pen these words. Had we only Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and even Acts, we would have been dumbfounded at the writings of the epistles. Thank You for explaining to those in that upper room the incredible union that they would have with You and how that would lead to a oneness, an absolute harmony where Your will would be our will and we would delight in it, where Your life would be our life and we would participate in it, where Your joy would be our joy, where we would be filled up full and overflowing with Your fullness, where everything that You made, everything that is made would seem so unnecessary because of our opportunity and delight to experience You. And thank You, oh God, thank You for making that real to us today. And we pray with the Apostle Paul that You'd open the understanding of our hearts, the eyes of our mind, of our spirit, that we would see, grasp, this marvelous union that is ours, and delight in how that secures for us both eternal forgiveness and eternal peace, eternal joy, eternal hope. I wonder, Father, how these words impress Peter there in the upper room. I wonder how Andrew, Matthew, I wonder how they must have wrinkled their brows to try to imagine such an elevated experience of being indwelt by God, drawn into a union with Him that nothing could separate and that would admit us into the very courtroom of heaven, into the very family of God, that would give us a necessary and wonderful union with You, our great God, much as our body and our head are interdependent upon each other. We seek for enjoyment and fulfillment in so many things here, Father. We look to things that amuse, things that distract, things that titillate the flesh, things that pique our curiosity, things that fill our vision, our mind with grandeur. And we look for inspiration often in very low places. Help us to see that we are sons of God. And give us appetites that yearn to eat of that manna that truly satisfies. To fellowship with you in that union, that exchange of wonder and awe and wisdom and peace that truly satisfies the deep yearnings of our heart. Help us to ponder, help us to grow to where having you, being one with you, is truly all we desire. Now, Father, take us back to our homes, to our places of work and rest, to think on these things, and where my words, my understanding has flawed and has in any way overshadowed or distorted your revelation, dismiss that from our minds, purge that out, clean it out, and use this time together tonight to draw us into the deepest possible experience of the fullness of God, and to truly seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and know that in that seeking, we are longing for the only thing that truly matters, that truly lasts, that truly satisfies. Teach us more in the days ahead of the wonders, the awesomeness of this great salvation, and of the enormous privilege that's ours to be in Christ Jesus and to have his Spirit dwelling within us. And as we ponder these things, then may we better fulfill your prayer that we are not of this world, even as you are not of this world. Again, thanks for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
The serpent insinuated to Eve that God wanted to keep her and Adam down. But all along, the Creator has been working to lift us up. And his plan requires something that neither the devil nor our first parents could have imagined, an infusion of the divine into man. On this Right Start episode, we've completed Jim's sermon, How to Live Effectively, Part 2. The entire message can be yours on CD for a gift of $7 or more. It's part of our series, How to Live Effectively, Volume 1. You can have all 14 of those talks together in a CD album for an offering of $49 or more. Please connect with us on our website, rightstartradio.org. It's a great way to hear more Bible-based content like this and give us feedback. You can enjoy hours of Pastor Jim's teaching right there on the site, or set up the podcast to come to you daily on the iTunes platform, or hit the email link and let us know what God is doing in your life. rightstartradio.org might be the easiest place to donate as well. It's the gifts and prayers of listeners like you that keep Right Start on the air. Thanks to our partners. And if the Spirit has been speaking to you about coming alongside to help us, we'd welcome that. rightstartradio.org. And there are other ways to make contact. You can reach us by mail at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. You can order CDs there as well as over the phone. Call 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. Tomorrow, Jim will tackle the most perfect and most mysterious union of all, the Holy Trinity. We invite you to join us tomorrow and every weekday for Right Start.